All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you. I guess it's the first off-season edition of the show as we stare down the barrel of what's going to be, yes, a long but also eventful off-season. What kind of events? Of course, we don't know. But we're going to know a lot of things several months from now that we do not know right now. Of course, the Buccaneers lose their wild card playoff game on Monday night to Dallas, and that ends the season. Does it end an era as well? We're going to find out. Does it end a way of doing things at one Buccaneer place? Well, we already know certain ways of doing things are going to change because there have been firings. It's one reason I waited till Friday this week to do the show. We're going to talk about it all on the show this week as the Buccaneers now are done, eliminated from playoff contention, and they will draft 19th in the upcoming NFL draft. Just one of the many things that we're all looking forward to. Of course, we've got the biggest decisions, all these dominoes that are going to fall, right? And before we even get to free agency, before we even get to the combine, before we even get to the draft, before we even get to any of those things, the first domino was, of course, are there going to be staff changes? That has come to pass, and I don't want to say I was surprised because obviously we were all watching and you know what happened this season, and yet whenever really sweeping moves get made by one of my teams, I'm always a little bit surprised. Like, you know, I thought, oh, they could fire Leftwich. Didn't think they were going to fire Bowles, and they're not. But when I heard the report, and to credit to Pewter Report, you know, they put that out Monday night, Leftwich to be fired. I was like, huh, you know, that's a report, but we'll see. And then to see not just Leftwich, but all the staff members. And let's just cover it real quick, just to get kind of reset where we're at here as far as the Bucs staff. The defensive staff is largely unchanged except for one person. We'll get to that in a moment. On the offensive side of the ball, fired Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator, running backs coach Todd McNair, wide receivers coach Kevin Garver, also offensive quality control coach Jeff Castle, and specialist coach, not special teams coach, specialist coach, which is, you know, kickers and punters, Chris Boniol, who used to kick for the Cowboys way back in the day, has been coaching the Bucs specialists. Also fired on the defensive side, the only defensive firing, assistant defensive line coach Lori Locust, who was, you know, a lot was made about that when Bruce Arians hired her as the first female assistant coach in the NFL. Three other people are retiring. Quarterbacks coach Clyde Christensen, after 40-plus years as a coach, retiring. He's 66. Outside linebackers coach Bob Sanders and senior assistant Rick Christoffel. All those guys and lady, in one way or the other, are not going to be back. Now, just to get to the one about, and this is something that Rick Stroud talked about on his timeline on Twitter, the Chris Boniol specialist coach and Lori Locust. You know, a lot of this is the glare. It's not like Todd Bowles sat down and said, I'm going to fire all these people. There was a meeting between Todd Bowles, Jason Light, and the Glazers. And the Glazers, as I've always said on this show, one thing about the Glazers is they will make a move. And this goes all the way back to, I remember, well, first, it goes back to when we hired John Gruden. I remember when the Bucs were struggling in those late 90s, early 2000s teams that always had those unbelievable defenses, couldn't quite get over the hump. Kept making the playoffs every year, and it's like, God, they're really going to fire Tony Dungy? They've made the playoffs two straight years, didn't win the division, had to go on the road in Philly, got beat, and they did finally pull the trigger and fire him and aggressively went after John Gruden, gave up first and second round draft picks and all that stuff. You all know this by now. And that was like, well, a pretty aggressive move. This is when we're still getting to know the Glazers a little bit, right? I was equally surprised after John Gruden won the Super Bowl and then won two other division titles. And it wasn't all great, as we remember. But then in 2008, they get off to a 9-2 start, lose five games in a row, finish with a winning record 9-7. And at this point, they had won division titles two of the previous 3 years and now just missed after a five-game collapse to end the season in 2008. And I was like, well, you know, they're not going to fire Gruden. I mean, that was pretty disappointing. They really, after being 9-2, should have been in the playoffs. And I know they haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Boom, they whack Gruden. That one surprised me. This is a long time ago now. They didn't really have a plan then, went with Raheem Morris, and he wasn't quite ready, and I'm not making fun of Raheem Morris. I think he's a hell of a coach, but back then, they had decided to make him defensive coordinator, and then like 5 seconds later, oh, actually, never mind, just head coach? Does that sound good? But my point is, right or wrong, okay, The Glazers are not passive. The Glazers will make moves. And so that's why I wasn't surprised when I heard about all this. It wasn't just Todd Bowles sitting there deciding to fire the guy he's been coaching with, although head coaches do have to make those decisions all the time. And I'm not saying he was or wasn't on board with this. I don't know the nature of the meeting, if he was forced to do it or if he also wanted to do it or what. I mean, when your job's on the line, you do what your bosses tell you to do. But yeah, this is an organizational decision. And when it comes to Lauri Locust, who the defensive line, I think, there were some injuries this year, but those guys have all improved. I don't think she was doing a bad job. And even Boniol, I think this was more of a cost-cutting type thing. Stroud alluded to that and said this is not even maybe cost-cutting, but just feeling as if those are positions that aren't necessarily needed. Assistant defensive line coach, a specialist coach aside from the special teams coach. Not a lot of NFL teams have those. Some teams do. And maybe the bill's coming due, as the phrase goes. And so something like that. Okay, fine, whatever. But the offensive coaches, we all know the reason that happened. And, I never, ever am fire the coach guy. You never want to see that. These are real people. This is personal. I don't dislike Byron Leftwich. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of people who maybe follow the Bucks loosely or national people who don't follow the Bucks on a daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly basis, they say, hey, offensive ranks since 2019, as far as just points scored, 2019, 28.6, third. 2020, 30.8 points per game, third in the NFL. 2021, last year, 30.1 points per game, second in the NFL. 2022, 18.4 points per game, 25th in the NFL. Points per game, not points per game. But you get the point. How are you going to fire Byron Leftwich, they say? Come on. He had one bad year. Look at those numbers he was putting up. He won a Super Bowl. You all loved him. And then it goes away. Second largest scoring depth drop-off, I should say, in NFL history from one season to the next. They scored 198 fewer points this past season than they did in 2021. And so, to some people who haven't been following the Bucks, that might seem like a hair trigger. That might seem like a quick hook. I think we all know better. And if you listen, there's a clip going around on Twitter of Dan Orlovsky, the former quarterback who's an ESPN analyst now, and he was talking about how needed this firing was, and how even going back to the past several seasons, even when they won the Super Bowl, how the Bucks' offense wasn't creative, wasn't good at maximizing their ability to do things. He said that when they were performing well, even as they won the Super Bowl, he said that was more a matter of high-level execution than it was scheme or anything like that, or creativity. And, of course, the chickens came home to roost this past season when they didn't quite have the ability to execute at the high level, had some injuries, had some personnel losses and all those things. And either way, we can argue about how much Byron Leftwich deserves or doesn't deserve this or that or any of these other coaches too, whom I all feel bad for. I don't want anybody to get fired. The bottom line, I've been saying this since the first like 2-3 games of the season when they won. They were 2-1 when they started out. It became apparent. I remember the opener against Dallas. Like, I remember the Bucks won. When they win, it's the first game. You're like, hey, cool, all right, we're on the right track, 19-3. A little bit shaky on offense, but we were cool with it then. I mean, it was only one game. And then it kind of became a theme of field goals, red zone failures, not scoring more than 20 points. And they'd win or they'd lose, but that was always a constant. And then the bottom fell out with those two losses back-to-back with Pittsburgh and Carolina. And that was when we realized, it's over. And by it's over, I don't mean even the Bucs season, which they ended up winning the division championship anyway. And I don't even necessarily mean, or didn't mean, the era of Brady, which we don't know yet. When I say it's over, I meant the Bucs as we knew them the past couple of years. It became apparent after, 6-7 games that was over. And since then, we've been watching a slow decomposition of this offense, basically. And I said these words multiple times on different shows in different weeks this past season. We can't go on like this. Right? We can't. And so now we're not going to. I don't know that what we're going to go on like is going to be better than what we've been going on like. I'm not saying that. I wish that was as easy as that. But we couldn't go on like how we were going on. So the moves got made. Those are the moves. Nobody else is getting fired. Now there's more moves to reassemble the offensive staff, basically. And we'll see what they come up with. But this is, again, about dominoes falling. That was the first domino right there, okay? So now they make the moves. They whack Leftwich. The next domino, of course, is Brady himself. If Brady's staying, he's going to decide who the offensive coordinator is, and that's fine. The Bucs want him to stay. He's got to make the decision now. And it's not going to be right now, but that's the next thing to fall. Colin Cowherd, you might have seen this clip out there going around as well, talked about how he has a close contact that close to Brady, who said Brady was incredibly frustrated with the offensive coaching this year, was incredibly frustrated with the lack of attention to detail, basically frustrated with Leftwich. That's a source he has, somebody that supposedly knows Brady. I don't know if that's true or not. I believe it. Hearing it, it makes perfect sense. And if it's true, if what he's saying is true, then this is the Bucs saying, hey, look, we want you to stay. We want you to be happier. We want to make this work. So let's try something else, and let's try it your way and see, you know, who you want to come up with. Whoever that ends up being. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't even know if it's going to be Brady staying. But I said over and over during the season, I said, why in the hell would Tom Brady even think about coming back to this? And as a Bucs fan who wants him to come back, looking at it from his perspective, I said that, okay? Now, and this is all, again, very personal. It's amazing how many people have opinions. I've just from talking to friends or people emailing me, and if you want to email me, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameday. On Twitter, follow me on Twitter at Bobby Game Day. You can, you know, go back and forth with me on Twitter. But I've been hearing from a lot of people, oh, you know what, Brady just needs to retire, or Brady just needs to do this, or Brady, you know, he should do that. What the hell do we know? We're not him. He shouldn't retire. Unless if he wants to retire, then he should retire. If he wants to play more, then he should play more. We all have this idea, and this is what it, you know, when you're in the public eye like he is, you're going to get this, but everybody has this idea of what somebody else should do, what they think sounds good, what they think writes the perfect story or ends the story. And again, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. All that matters is him. So here's what I would do if I was the Bucs, okay? And this is another debate that's been raging even before they lost to the Cowboys, because we all knew it was coming. Even if it wasn't that game, it was going to be probably this weekend. If you're the Bucs, do you try to blow everything up and rebuild? Do you try to hang on to any sliver of relevance you can have and maybe just make it work? Do you try to kind of split the difference and keep it going while also slowly mitigating your cap stuff and trying to get, you know, maybe never having a full rebuild, but maybe able to keep your head above water while you replace people and get younger and get better, you know, whatever it is. So if I was the Bucs right now, I always tend to fall on the side of, you know, try to stay relevant, try to stay in it. And you don't know, like, the thing is, you don't know what the right move is, and you won't know for years from now. And sometimes the worst result in the present is actually the best result for the future. I mean, I look at things like, I remember with the Gators, for example, just as an example. You know, back when Steve Spurrier retired and they hired Ron Zook, and it didn't go well. You know, it was tough under Ron Zook. They fire Zook. Again, the timing, everything's about timing, and you don't know until sometimes years or decades later what the timing should have been. But it was right when Urban Meyer was ready to take that leap and get a new job from Utah. Notre Dame wanted him, and if the Gators weren't in position to fire their coach and Zook when they did, soon enough, you know, they never get the crack at Urban Meyer, because there was a lot of options Meyer had. He could have gone, you know, he would have gone to Notre Dame or something like that. So instead, timing works out perfectly. It seemed really, it sucked for Gator fans at the time, losing 4 or 5 games in a year, but that got them Urban Meyer, and he won 2 national championships in 3 seasons, and 2 in his first 4 seasons. And again, all timing, everything worked out perfectly. So looking back to even when Spurrier retired, the hiring of Ron Zook is what allowed him to win 2 national championships, because none of it would have happened if that exact sequence hadn't happened exactly when it did, exactly in the order it did. We're going through that right now. We just don't know it. So I don't, you know, we could be staring down the barrel of, you know, another decade of irrelevance, or we could get right back in the saddle. But I'll tell you this much about rebuilding. Here's the thing about rebuilding. It's always tempting when something looks bad and you know you've got cap issues and you know what? Hey, let's cut everybody. Let's shed cap, whatever. Eat it for a couple of seasons, we'll be terrible, and we'll go draft Caleb Williams from USC, and it's all going to be great, everything's going to be great again. You make that plan in your head. Sometimes rebuilding does work. Sometimes You have to get it wrong for a few years, but you know you're doing the right thing, and then you come back. But sometimes you just end up sucking and never getting better. Who says a rebuild means we win the Super Bowl in like 4 years? That's what if we just go back to like, you know, a 2007 through 2019 type of phase where we just are kind of there for over 15 years? Because that's what we just went through post-Gruden, pre-Arians, okay? Right? I mean, that's... There's no guarantee, oh, let's just rebuild it and we'll be good again. We may be, so I tend to, if I was the Bucks, here's what I would want to do. Tom Brady's like a squirrel you're trying to feed in the park, okay? Like, and he may have his mind made up and just isn't letting it on, or he may genuinely be taking time. Like he said, he made the decision too quick last year, then he changed his mind. You really want to get distant from the season, because right after the season, you're just done. You're like, yeah, I'm done. But give it a month or so, or whatever it is, 2 months, however long you can afford. And then if you still don't want to play then maybe you do want to retire. But a lot of times at, right after the season, you're burnt out. But after a few weeks goes by, you're like, yeah, I can play some football again. So Brady, just give him a space. Maintain contact with him, okay? But I would try to, because I don't think Tom Brady's as good as he used to be, but I think with a decent team, he's still pretty okay. And he's certainly better than, he's still in the top half of quarterbacks in the league right now, I think, okay? And he's certainly better than whoever the hell we get to replace him. And so I would try to entice him to come back with the offensive coordinator hire, with the potential. I mean, Rob Gronkowski talked about it. He didn't do it this year, but I could still see Rob Gronkowski maybe coming back. I'm not saying he would. But there's things that could make this attractive, okay? If he gets to have an offensive coordinator that he wants, that he works well with, if personnel gets better. The offensive line was beat up. Okay, I personally, I've said this already, I don't think the offensive line was nearly as bad as it was made out to be, and people are acting like the offensive line was just an atrocity. I mean, Donovan Smith was kind of an atrocity, but, you know, it wasn't that bad this year, although it could definitely be better, and you've got three solid, I mean, look, Wirfs, right tackle, you're looking good, all right? Shaq Mason was good this year. All the advanced metrics and all the all that stuff bores it out. If Ryan Jensen's back healthy and he did not undergo surgery, he simply healed up. All right. A competent left guard, whether it's Leverett or whoever else, or Amir Aaron Stinney got hurt, you can put somebody there who's decent. You need a left tackle, or you need a tackle, whatever you know. And that's not a small thing, obviously. But if you can say, hey, look, our offensive line's not going to be bad. You have a pretty good offensive line again. Injuries got us this past year. You still got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. You know, we can get you, you know, the tight end thing. We'll see. Although Kate Otten, I think he could take a step forward. I thought it was pretty clear, you know, during this season that he is TE1, as the kids say. I think he can grow more in that role. But if Rob Gronkowski really wants to come back, that's another way you can entice Brady. Combined with the changes made on the coaching staff, combined with familiarity, people are naming all these other teams like, it sounds so great on paper. Oh, I'm just going to go to a new team. Well, you know, that's new offense, new coaches, new receivers to get relationships with, on and on and on. And combined with his family, I mean, his family is in Miami. Obviously, we know the Dolphin thing. We know how that, it sounds like the Dolphins are standing pat with Tua. So it's not like Sean Payton and Tua, or Sean Payton and Brady are going to get together in Miami. That I would understand if Brady left for that. And short of Miami, I don't think he wants to get farther away from his family. People are saying the Raiders and all this other stuff. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not going to pretend I know what anybody's thinking. I don't know what Tom Brady's thinking. I'm just saying, I'm trying to look at it from his perspective. If you want to keep playing football, I know he wants to win another Super Bowl. Everybody does. But it seems like the easiest way to do that would be to try and make it work here again one more time. You're in a crappy division, right? I mean, it's not like... And the NFC overall is not crappy, but it's not as hard as the AFC, I don't think. And the division in particular you're in, you could be playing more home playoff games. Like, it's a weird spot the Bucks are in, because I could see them just, you know, being awful going forward. And I could kind of see them, okay, yeah, maybe we can be still somebody relevant or decent. But you also have to think of how likely is he to go to any other team to win the Super Bowl. Who's he going to go win the Super Bowl with? Like, I'm going to go win the Super Bowl blank right here with these guys right now. 49ers seem like they're pretty okay. I'm not sure. I mean, and that's far away from his family. How many teams are Super Bowl ready but need a quarterback? That's kind of an oxymoron, right? Like, if you need a quarterback, you're probably garbage. That's why you need a quarterback. Or that's why you're garbage, because you don't have a quarterback. If you have a quarterback and you're good, well, then you don't need a quarterback. I think the Bucs fit that description of a team that is good enough but doesn't have a quarterback, unless it's Brady himself, than any other team. So if I was the Bucs, I would try to do that. Like, that's what I would try and do. I would try to make ourselves as attractive to him staying. I could see him retiring altogether, but if he wants to play some more, I don't think it's crazy now that he'd stay in Tampa. Okay? If we can do that. If we can't do that, yeah, then I probably would lean more toward the rebuild. You know? But if we can keep it going, just keep it. I've always said this. You just got to have ping pong balls in the hopper. You know, people talk about, oh, their window is open or closed. Kind of like the Lightning. Like the Lightning, oh, their window. Then they did it. They won two cups, but now their window's closing. I mean, just, they're good. Like, if you're good, this stuff's a lot more random than people want to admit. Just be good. Like, the light, just be in the playoffs every year, and you'll win some, you'll lose some. The Lightning were good before the two cups, too, but they just didn't their ping pong ball didn't come out of the hopper. Then they put it together and won two in a row, you know, because they were just there. You know, make playoffs, get home games, make divisional rounds. A couple times, you'll break through. You know how random their 2020 win was? Like, we think 2020 they won the Super Bowl. 2021, I think they were better. 2020, it just worked out, man. I mean, the Jared Cook fumble by the Saints, the Scotty Miller touchdown in Green Bay. I mean, it was like stuff that just doesn't happen happened, and they won. Now, I'm not saying they won only on luck. My point is, just be there. So right now, we're still kind of there, even though we weren't very good this year. We were kind of there. And they can get better, and with new coaching and better personnel, whether it's players that are already in the organization who are hurt coming back, or even in some cases some new players, that's what I would lean toward trying to do. As far as the salary cap goes, this is the thing, just for Brady's, for his perspective, or for the Bucs' perspective of what he would do. If Brady retires, there's $35 million of dead cap money there that the Bucs have to eat. There's a little bit of creativity. They could split it with some creative stuff. All the salary cap stuff, by the way, it makes my eyes glaze over. It's boring as hell. I'm not going to get into the specifics because I don't care about it. There's too many. It's so complicated. To me, it should just literally be like how much you wrote checks this year, right? How much were those checks? This is the maximum number for the 20, and that's it. But they have all these little rules. You can circumvent all this crap. So whatever. $35 million dead cap hit, but if he retires, they can move it around so it's only part this year, like $10 million this year and $25 million of it next year. If he goes to another team, that's the worst outcome for the Bucs, salary cap-wise, because then they have to eat the $35 million dead cap hit this year, but they can't move it around at all. It's all on this coming season, plus he's playing for another team, which also kind of sucks. If he stays with the Bucs, then, of course, there's all kinds of gyrations and gymnastics they can do. But they would sign some sort of new thing then. So that's the situation there. But, yeah, I mean, can we get Brady to believe there's a reason to keep this going? Tell him we're going to draft Donovan Smith's replacement with our first-round pick. I know the Bucs need help in lots of places. I mean, I know you want some guys up front on defense, too, in that front seven. But get a stud. Whoever the stud tackle is available at 19, get him. There, that's Donovan Smith's replacement. Now you got an offensive line again that's got no holes. I know it's a rookie, but still, it's better than Donovan Smith. You know, we'll get a better rushing attack, although I think the rushing thing is overrated. Leonard Fournette this year, 3.5 yards per carry he averaged. That's the worst of all running backs who had at least 150 carries, and actually none of them were lower than 3.8 to Fournette's 3.5, so it wasn't even close. But again, you can draft a guy in the later rounds for that. Or Rashad White can do it. You know, get him a tackle, get him another receiver, get him a tight end. And the defense is pretty good. Obviously, there's free. I know Jamel Dean's a free agent. By the way, I know Jamel Dean, you know, they said something about matchups and blah, 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 and coming off an injury and blah, blah, blah. How the hell did he not play a snap? Literally didn't play against Dallas. It was all Sean Murphy Bunting. I'm not bagging on an SMB, but I mean, anyway, that's a whole other thing. My point is, that's what I would do right now if I were the Bucs. But we're not going to know for a while. And it's funny because Gasparilla is coming up. This weekend's the Children's Parade. Next weekend's the Big Parade. And I remember distinctly this was when we heard about Brady's retirement last time, I remember I was standing on Bayshore Boulevard at Gasparilla. Like, my kids were up front. I was just standing in the back behind them, wait, and they were up front, you know, the whole bead thing. And I'm checking my phone. It started going around the crowd. Like, somebody saw it first, and there's all these murmurs going through this Gasparilla crowd that Brady was retiring. So that was pretty soon. It was pretty quick, right? Like, they had just lost. That's not going to happen this year. There shouldn't be any news this year, although, you know, there's contract things. I think they have to get it done by March 15th. If he's going to stay, they sign it by March 15th or whatever. So, fine. You know, we will wait and see. You know, a lot of stuff's going to be going on behind the scenes. I'm not reading any press conferences. Like, the minute that game ended, Brady went up to the podium the other night on Monday night, and everyone's trying to read into every little thing, and people who were in the room, well, this kind of felt like a goodbye. And then, listen, I watched the press. I wasn't there in the room. I watched the press conference. When he's thanking everybody and all these types of things, that's something you do at the end of any season. People are trying too hard to find something. Like, I didn't take it as a goodbye or not a goodbye. I just didn't take it as anything. I don't care about what was said in a press conference. So we're not doing that whole thing. One thing I'll say right now, and this is what we have to keep in mind, okay? Because the world moves faster than it used to. We don't savor things as much. Instant gratification, screens. I mean, I say this all the time, like, you know, ever since I got my smartphone, and I was never exactly known for my rock solid attention span to begin with. But ever since I got my smartphone, like, everything's got to be in 10 second blips. I can't do anything, you know. Like, even I get to a red light now, and the minute I get to the red light, I grab my cell phone, I'm like on Twitter or something, like while I'm waiting at the red light. I can't even sit there for 15 seconds. And I wonder often, like, how did I do that? Like, I didn't used to have a smartphone. I got a smartphone for the first time, like, that was less than 10 years ago, I think. I think it was like 8 or 9 years ago. So what did I do before that? Like, how did I pass the time? But now I get so easily bored if I don't have some sort of stimulation, even at a red light. And the reason I'm saying this is because, you know, it's always been a what have you done for me lately type of world. But keep in mind, don't lose perspective of this. The Bucks won the Super Bowl in 2020, okay? And no matter how this ends, whether it's ending now or whether we get another year or whatever, this has all been a smashing success, okay? The whole Brady experiment, Antonio Brown, all those things that, oh, you think, oh, it ended, what a mistake. We knew Antonio Brown would blow up on him eventually. No, the whole thing was great. If Brady leaves us for dead tomorrow, if he says, I'm done, you're in salary cap hell, I'm going to go play for the Saints, and we're going to dominate the division for the next 5 years, and you owe me salary cap money. I don't care. With the worst possible outcome going forward, it will still have been worth it because we won the Super Bowl. That was the whole point. And not only that, that would have been it anyway. It was in Tampa. Like, literally, if you went back to tell little, like, 15-year-old Bobby Game Day in high school when I was at Jesuit, hey, one day the Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl in their home stadium, my head would have exploded. Like, my head would have fallen off and laid on the ground, and nothing else would have mattered back, okay? And that happened. Like, that actually happened in real life. I was there. And it was the only slight blemish on it was during COVID. But even that can't. I mean, it was a real thing that happened. So this has all been totally worth it. But, you know, it's only been, what are we, 2 seasons removed, and we've already forgotten about the Super Bowl completely. We're like, oh, we suck, this, that, and the other. Me too. I've been doing it all year on this show. So don't lose that perspective if we get bad news coming up. And I'm not saying we will, but even if we do, it will still have been worth it, and I'm incredibly grateful for what we've gotten to experience as fans, and hopefully there's more to come. We'll see. In the meantime, there are other teams that are still playing this weekend. Of course, it's the divisional round, and I'm really excited for it. Football's the only sport. Like I said, I love a lot of sports, but football's my truest love. And a lot of the other sports, I mean, I watch them all, and especially in the playoffs, I watch them all. But you know how when your team gets eliminated, like when the Rays get eliminated or the Lightning get eliminated, although that hasn't really happened much lately, the Lightning, they've played the final game of the year 3 years in a row. But then the kind of the rest of the playoffs, you're like, ah, it's hard to watch. You don't want to watch it. You're bummed out. You don't want to be reminded that your team's not in it. Not football. I don't care if the Bucks had the most heartbreaking loss. I actually didn't watch the first half of the Super Bowl when it was Rams-Titans in 1999 because I was so disillusioned and distraught at the Bert Emanuel call, right? And it lasted a half, and I had to turn it on for the second half. So I'm divisional round weekend is the best football weekend of the year. There's no college football, I know, but I mean, it's like there's four games instead of six, I know, but you kind of separate the wheat from the chaff. You've got those top seeds that had buys. It's a really good slate. I'm really excited to watch all four games, and it starts with Jaguars at Chiefs at 4:30 on Saturday night's Giants Eagles, then Sunday Bengals Bills and Cowboys 49ers. And it's going to be awesome. I'm already looking forward to it. And this is a fan of a team that is coming off of their loss. I'm not deterred at all. I could be more excited if the Bucks were playing. But other than that, I'm looking forward to watching it just like always. There is some news about the conference championship in the AFC, which, as you know, if the Chiefs and the Bills win this weekend, is going to be in Atlanta at a neutral site, given the unique circumstance of not having finished that game between the Bills and the Bengals with the DeMar Hamlin thing and all that. But anyway, here's the point. NFL put out a press release earlier today. Potential neutral site AFC championship game in Atlanta, it'll be in Atlanta, is seeing extraordinary demand. More than 50,000 tickets sold in one day. It says more than 50,000 tickets were purchased by the club's season ticket members in the first 24 hours of the announcement. The ticketing plan enables Bills fans to be seated on their side of the field and the Chiefs fans on the other, just like Florida, Georgia, or just like a college football bowl game type of atmosphere. And it has raised the thought, and it's been bandied about, if this comes to pass, or even if it doesn't, just seeing what the ticket sales have done. Of course, Jags fans are all in the mentions on this tweet saying, well, there's going to be 50,000 refunds then, baby, because the Jags are beating the Chiefs. But the point is, seeing this, does it make you wonder, is the NFL going to look to go neutral site conference championship games if they know they can sell it like this? A lot of people have brought it up. I hope they do not. I mean, home field advantage in the NFL playoffs, it matters more than in any other sport. You earn that with the number one seed. I know some people are saying, well, the number one seed gets a bye. That's enough of an advantage. They don't need any more advantage. I don't want to see this. Plus, the Bucs have only hosted the NFC Championship game once. It was before I was born. I'd like them to host another one day. And if they go to this neutral site, I know you could sell tickets anywhere to an NFL game. You could put the game, if there was a stadium big enough, you know, you could play it in Manhattan, Kansas, at Kansas State Stadium, and it would be filled to the gills there and put up temporary seats or whatever. You could play literally anywhere in the NFL. It's that powerful of a reach. That doesn't mean you need to. We'll see if it comes. We'll know after Sunday if it's even going to happen, but the indications are that if it does, it's not going to be one of those weird, like, you ever see those games that have happened, like the Packers did it a couple years ago against the Saints, I think, right? When these hurricane games where a team has to play a home game at a different stadium and they play two teams that are not from that town, like the Packers and Saints played in Jacksonville, and people that live in Jacksonville, can you just go watch the game for like $5? Because, hey, I mean, you know, they're here. This isn't going to be like that, apparently. Apparently, people are jacked up, and the Bills fans are kind of a special case. I'm not sure if this would be the case for every team, but the Bills and Chiefs fan bases travel well, and especially the Bills. Those people are nuts. They'll do anything. So I'm not surprised, but I don't think it necessarily is an indicator that we need to go to neutral site conference championships. Just something to keep an eye on if you're, you know, paying attention to that sort of thing this weekend. But there's so much good football. It's going to be a lot of fun looking at it, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in any of the games. I never do predictions and things like that. But I give the Jags a puncher's chance in Kansas City. And, you know, these games always seem to be a little bit, especially with the Chiefs, even when the Chiefs have gotten it done, it's never an out and out, oh my God, tour de force. They've been upset at home in the playoffs, and even when they haven't, they've played some close games against teams you didn't think were going to be able to keep it close. So, you know, definitely a line is listed as 9 right now if I was going to bet, and I'm not. I don't need to do that anymore. But if I was, I'd take the points. And Giants-Eagles, I give the Eagles a better chance to beat the Giants without incident than I do the Chiefs to beat the Jags without incident. I think they'll both win either way, though. Bengals-Bills should be a hell of a game on Sunday. Cowboys-49ers will be the hardest one to get into. But still, I'm all about all of it. So enjoy the weekend of football. If you're thinking about maybe a new vehicle, whether it's brand new or pre-owned or whatever, I strongly recommend your first move is to go to Bill Curry Ford and the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, they spell Curry C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And there you can see all the inventory, again, brand new pre-owned. It's cars, trucks, vans, lots of Fords, obviously. It's called Bill Curry Ford, but not all Ford. They got other stuff, too. And no matter what it all is, you get the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing right there in front of you. You zero it in, you zero it down, you hone in on something. Now you go to the actual site a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsborough Avenue, where they've been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. You can go see it in person. Go test drive. They'll even bring it to your house if you don't want to go, though. If you want to test drive or buy, they'll take it to you. You never have to leave your home or office. And whatever you do, it's all subject to the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, powertrain, engine trouble, all that stuff taken care of in perpetuity. As long as you're the one that bought the car at Bill Curry Ford and still own it, years down the road, you never have to worry about any of that stuff. Plus, the first year of oil changes and all that stuff is free and everything like that. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So let's take a deep breath right now, okay? It's going to be a long off season. We're going to have a lot of shows that deal in speculation, which I have no problem. People say, oh, we're not going to speculate. No, we're going to speculate, okay? It's all we can do for a while. But as soon as something ends and your focus turns from football, which is what it's been on up until the Bucs got eliminated on Monday night, now it turns to, well, what's going to happen next? Who's going to do this or that or the other? And those things aren't as easy. There's not a schedule out on my refrigerator like there was for the games that says, okay, Sunday 1 p.m., Tom Brady's going to drop a hint about what he might do. No, right now we're just going to kind of go and just kind of just drift in the current a little bit. And it's not as fun. People like definitives. People like absolutes. People like to know what's going on. And we're not going to have that for a while. But we're going to keep following the NFL playoffs. We're going to keep looking at what the Bucs can do. We'll speculate plenty next week about the potential offensive coordinator hire. That, you know, will tell us a lot about what's going on with Brady. Or maybe we'll hear about Brady first. I don't know. None of us do. But either way, before we wrap up today, this is the end of another season. That's always a win or lose, even when they win the Super Bowl. It's always a solemnness to it, or a solemnity, whatever the word is. Because, like I always say, I love all of our sports teams. I love the Bucks, or I love the Lightning and Rays. I love, you know, the Gators, my alma mater. But the Bucks are the only team, at least for me, that have been a constant throughout my entire life. There wasn't a Lightning and a Rays when I was a kid. And I hadn't attended the University of Florida yet when I was a kid. But from literally day one, and even before that, it's been the Bucks. And there's those 16, now 17, precious days a year where they play a football game. You get the option for more with playoff games. And when it comes to an end, it's always sad. I already cannot wait for training camp and the preseason and all the things that come in August. And that's, I don't care if we're garbage. I don't care if Brady's gone. I don't care if Kyle Trask is the starter and we're in full rebuild mode. I'll still be there with bells on. I know a lot of you guys will be too. And so nothing's ending. We're doing our show every week regardless. But still, with it being the end of the season, I want to say thank you to all you guys for listening. The passion I get through the emails, through people I talk to, and everything like that. It was a really fun season. And I can't wait for the next one. But the offseason awaits, so we'll get to everything in due time. Thanks to the Joes, JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio for Bucks coverage. Thanks to them for giving me this platform and putting you on their website. You need to be there every day. There's multiple articles. Every time you refresh, there's something new. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, and thanks to all of you in Buck Nation and supporters of the Free Stretch. I'm Bobby Fenton. The offseason is underway. We'll be back next week. Enjoy Children's Gasparilla if you're going to that. Enjoy the divisional round. Be safe. Have fun. I'll talk to you next week. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night. And as always, go Bucks.